Global roaming is expanding to weekdays.
We did try to stay weekly. The news said no. So 5 days a week it is.
It's serious reporting on global events. Plus you're invited for a daily radio coffee table chat with me, Geraldine Doogue.
And with me, Hamish McDonald. And in 2026, Latika Burke and Kylie Morris.
Together we'll explore the global forces reshaping our world in mostly calm conversation.
Calm, Geraldine. Global roaming. Search for Global Roaming on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
In 1969, the Greek-born director Costa Gavras released a film called Z. And it was so controversial, it was immediately banned in Greece. That's because, really, the movie was a political attack disguised as a movie. An attack against the military dictatorship in Greece and its far-right supporters. The film took the real-life assassination of former Olympic athlete and peace activist Grigoris Lambrakis and then said all the things that couldn't be said out loud. It's a thinly fictionalized account of Lambrakis' final days. Z won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film in 1970. A cinematic slap to the Greek military junta. We made a whole Assassins episode about the life of Grigoris Lambrakis. Check it out in your podcast feed or on YouTube or Spotify. But today, we're talking movie making and how and why the movie Z ruffled some very powerful feathers. Joining us is celebrator of cinema and podcaster, Alexi Toliopoulos. Alexi hosts the podcast, The Last Video Store. It's really fun and smart, and you should check it out. Welcome to Assassins, my friend.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here talking about one of the great films.
Now, tell us, why is it that you love the movie Z?
Well, it's interesting because I think you put it nicely in your introduction to the film just then where you said, a thinly veiled attack, really, because this film begins with one of the great title cards, in my opinion, which is any resemblance to persons living or dead is not coincidental.
Yeah,
it
I remember
is
seeing
intentional.
That.
And I think what a great way to kick off a film like this. Mm. I think the reason I love this film, it's been in my life for a very long time. I would have seen it when I was about 13 years old. My mum showed it to me. I think a lot of people like myself who are descendant of exiled Greeks because of the military junta, it gives you a visual language to those memories that I don't have. And I think that's probably why it stuck around for my mum so much as well, because she was a young girl who was born in Greece at this time. And I think for her, it like captures a lot of those memories that she remembers seeing and is a way to understand what it was. And so in 67, my family comes to Australia because of everything that this movie is about.
Now, we're going to jump back to something you said earlier regarding the opening line or the opening message in the film. All resemblances are intentional. What truth are they refusing to soften?
I love the way you put that. What truth are they refusing to soften? Because I think what it is to show the brutality of a far right-wing military dictatorship in its forming state, in how brutal they're willing to be to get to power, which is literally silencing the voice of someone who's speaking against those things. It shows like how, I guess how they also see like that there's like this left-wing movement happening and they're talking about it in those first moments as being like a mildew or a mold that needs extermination. And so it's like this strong language talking about people's lives as if it's like bacteria.
The creator, the director, was only in his mid-30s at the time. So how did releasing this film shape his life?
Well, he is, Kostas Gavras is thought of as the father of the political thriller. And it starts with this film being such a massive hit, winning Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars. being an international success, it shapes his career in that I think he wants to make a lot of political films. Most notably, he makes this film called Missing with Jack Lemmon and Sissy Spacek, I think in the 1980s, and it is just a strong political message about a South American dictatorship and an American man that goes, quote unquote, missing, and the investigation into that. And I'd say that is right up there with Z as far as his political films go. He's a very interesting filmmaker, Costa Gavras, who I think worked with a lot of urgency, but it's the thing where Z is an early part of his career, but it's also the pinnacle where it is the film that everyone talks about with him. He's made some other notable films, but Z is the film.
Now, the movie was obviously quite political. Now, why was it banned in Greece?
Well, it was banned much like anything that kind of criticized the military, the far-right military dictatorship there at that time. Mm-hmm. So the film was banned, political music was banned, the music of Mikis Theodorakis, who does the soundtrack to this film, the score for it, his music was all banned, and Costa Gavras was living in exile. I believe Arin Pappas, who's one of the stars of the film, the Greek stars of the film, she was exiled as well. So it kind of comes at a time where anything criticizing this government, this regime, this dictatorship, anything that criticizes that is being banned.
Mm. Well, it was released only 6 years after the assassination of Lambrakis. Would you say this was a rather risky time to release a film?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that stands to why it's so important. Like, why this film in particular, why it stands so strongly in Costa Gavras's career. But not just his career. I'd say when people think about the political thriller, this is often the movie that they signpost as being a godfather or a birth point for that genre. That becomes so important to world cinema, in particular American cinema in the 1970s, with like conspiracy theory films, anything from Alan J. Pakula, including All the President's Men. I think they all owe something to Z. Even Best Picture winner French Connection, I would say, owes everything to this film.
Now, the film is obviously about a Greek political situation, but it's in the French language and it's an Algerian film.
Yes, it's filmed in Algeria, but it is the French language. And that is because that is where Costas Gavras was living. He had to live in France to escape, to live in exile. But there's something about it not being signposted like, hey, this is Greece, this is current day. I think giving it just that thinly veiled fictional nature, like a bit more of that narrative approach, I think his approach to taking this international style is so it can appeal to a bigger audience outside of just Greece. And to make it feel like the aspects of a thriller, to have like a genre approach.
Despite it being filmed in this international approach, there are some things that are in the film that quite obviously indicate that this is set in Greece, right? Could you tell us a little bit more about those?
Well, I think that because it takes this approach of it's unnamed and like it is an unnamed place, it's somewhere. The thing that really signifies Greece is the score and the soundtrack. And I think that's a big reason to like why it's kind of retains this feeling of Greek, and why it kind of resonates deeply with Greek people is the music has its roots in Mikis Theodorakis, who is the composer of the film, but he is like a true hero to Greeks. Like he is, as far as Greeks go, Mikis Theodorakis would probably be like the biggest hero to all Greeks, I'd say, particularly leftist Greeks. He passed away in, I think, 2021, and it was like a 3-day national mourning that the government like instilled. Like it was, that's how important he is to Greeks. His score takes, the score is very clearly Greek. Like it's bouzouki music. It's got its roots in folk music, but then it has the rhythm of political marches. And I think that's what gives it that kinetic energy, that push, that force that makes it feel present tense and urgent. And like I said before, his music was banned by the government at this time. So it becomes more than something that underscores the film. I think it acts just as strongly as like the political declaration for the film by having the score be so Greek. He, Theodorakis, was imprisoned and his music itself is like a defiance to the regime. The music itself isn't just like a comment on the oppression. It's something that comes from that oppression as well. So I think that is what provides so much of the context for the film and why I think it feels so resonantly Greek. You hear that music, it's by the same composer that did Zorba the Greek. There's nothing more Greek than those sounds. Mm. So I think that's how it carries the message across so strongly.
Now, the title of the film is Z, and that comes from graffiti left after the assassination of Grigoris Lambrakis. What does this mean?
So Z or Zita, Zita means life, and Z means to live, or he lives. And so I think what it means, having this graffiti around Greece at this time, is to, it's like a declaration that Lambrakis, although he physically has died, it is to show that his mission or what he believes in and what he's instilled in the people that follow him continues to live. So it becomes like a rallying cry to the people.
All right, well, let's talk more about the film itself, the filmmaking aspect. I'm sure it's your favorite part.
It certainly is, yeah. I think that what really works about this film, having revisited a few times, beyond the score, I think is this cinematic approach. The filmmaker, who was once a film critic as well, Paul Schrader, probably best known for being the writer of Taxi Driver, in the 1970s, he wrote in his review of this film, new styles and art do not evolve simply because the time is right or because a particular artist chooses to explore new paths, but most stylistic departures seem to be pragmatic decisions. They occur when an artist realizes that he cannot convey his message in any of the conventional forms, but must devise his own. Z follows in the tradition of films like Strike, Open City, and The Battle of Algiers, whose political messages were so intense and urgent that new cinematic styles were created to realize the subjects. Costa Gavras' Z serves to invalidate the myth that propaganda degrades art. And when you think about that quote, so much comes to mind for me of the cinematography of this film by Raul Cortad, who is one, he's probably the most notable cinematographer of the French New Wave. He worked with Godard on Breathless. He worked with François Truffaut on Jules and Jim. And before becoming a cinematographer, he was actually, in the 1940s, he was sent to participate in the French Indochine War. He lived in Vietnam working as a war photographer. And I think so much of that informs the way he presents Z, which is, I would describe as like a political camera. It is shot almost in a way that feels more like journalistic than expressionistic cinema. So it's handheld cameras for the most part. There's very, very naturalistic lighting. Like, it doesn't feel like big studio setups or anything. It feels very on the ground. There's kind of, I would describe it as constant reframing where the shot starts in one position and then the camera will move to capture something else or move with a character or find new angles. And because all shot in location of Algiers serving as Greece, it's got like this on the street feeling. So the way they describe it is more like journalistic than...
Now that you mention it, it did feel, because I did watch it recently, and it did feel a little bit more, at certain times, almost like a documentary.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's very intentional, where it is very, very naturalistic, but it's that kind of cinema verite style where it's capturing everything on the street, capturing everything to feel real, to feel urgent. And in that as well, there is this very, very fast-paced editing style. Like shots in, for especially for this time period in the 60s to early 70s, the movies are long sustained takes rather than rapid cutting. And I think this film kind of captures this urgency of rapid cutting, almost like, you know, capturing a headline of something. I think that works really well with then the soundtrack, the score coming from Theodorakis, which has this feeling of like marching music or protest music. It captures like this really fast pace. So it feels like the film is being transmitted to you directly from real life across the sea.
There's a sense that the film itself is a witness, right? So how rare is this in cinema?
It's interesting. I love the way that you put it, like that the film itself is a witness. Because I think this is in many ways film as journalism. I think that, I don't know, it feels rarer and rarer, but I think when you think about it as witness, I think you can think about films that are a form of self-expression like this and political self-expression more so as like a witness testament, especially for people that have gone through this. I think of filmmakers, contemporary filmmakers right now, like Jafar Panahi of Iran, whose films, he's a filmmaker who's literally been under house arrest, who's been banned from making films, but has continued making films. And currently he's got, his latest film, It Was Just an Accident, won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. And that is like as searing as this, as political testimony and capturing the capturing a smaller, intimate story on the scale of like world history as it's unfolding. And I think that's the case. There's a lot of important films are like this where they're a witness testament to history as it unfolds. So I think it's only rare because it's so dangerous and hard to do. And the stakes are really high to be making films like that. The filmmakers that do so, like Costa Gavras, like Jafar Panahi, are exiled or arrested. And it's only rare because it's so hard.
Well, being part of the diaspora yourself, how did this movie sit with Greek communities outside of their homeland?
It's interesting because I would describe it as essential and important. It's hard to say how much this film gets seen now because it is, in many ways, it's hard to find and hard to see. But I think for people in the diaspora, it serves an essential purpose. I asked my mum about this, and she said that her mother and father took her to see the film probably in 1970 when it would have come out in Australia when she was like 12 years old. And for her, the way that I understood it, it served, as I'm sure it did for many Greeks in exile, as a visual understanding of what happened to them, for their families, what happened to their country. And films like this exist as a visual cultural memory. And yeah, I think that's why it's important. I think for a lot of those things where you don't have a photo album of it, you don't have something to keep for yourself from it, your own memories, films like this serve as a visual understanding to what those memories are.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Alexi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alexi Toliopoulos is a film critic and host of the podcast The Last Video Store. We've been talking about the movie Z. Now, it's quite difficult to find, but it's available to watch for free on the Internet Archive website. Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Kyla Slaven is the supervising producer. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.